During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Jake for playing the wonderful music. Obviously, my mom was a huge fan of Prince as well. I like this video because he's in a bathtub. Mom, tell me that for. Can't you say you just like the song? Let's talk to Mike McFarland. Mac, what do you think about check swings?
Yeah, about that. Look, I don't think it would have mattered. I think Scherzer would have finished it off one way or the other, but still, that's a tough way to go. So it's a judgment call. More times than not, they end up do going. But, I mean, crying out loud, that was pretty blatant that, to have that epic of a series end on a bad call check swing just didn't seem the right way to end it.
I mean, it wasn't a swing. It was
a flinch.
Right. But you are correct. Wilmer Flores, 0 for 17 in his career against Max Scherzer heading into that at bat. It was going to be 0 for 18, whether that was called a strike or not. But what a terrible call.
It was, but what a great series. And that's kind of what, everyone was hoping for. I know MLB was hoping for it, and obviously they got their major market team in there that they needed. So it'll be an interesting series against the Braves. And then you got the ex-Astros manager for the Red Sox now going up against Dusty Baker. It's going to be a great series with two good hitting ball clubs. The weather's getting cool outside. You got October baseball. You got football going, college, man, and NFL. It's a good time.
What did you think of their decision? Look, they won, and so no one's going to question it now. But they did not start the game with their 20-game winner, Julio Urias, who was scheduled to start, and they decided to go with a couple of relievers and then go to Urias. Corey Knebel got opener duties for the Dodgers, and then they end up closing the game with their best starting pitcher, Max Scherzer. They look like geniuses now, but like, what were you thinking when you heard that was what they were going to do before the game?
If I'm a Dodger fan, I'm going, what in the hell? We're tempting with this analytics fate right now, and it could come back and bite us in the butt. I just can't leave an arm like Urias and have the chance that they can get up two runs, knowing that the Giants have some very good arms in the bullpen. I was very surprised, but like you said, it worked out, and hey, good for them. But God dang, you want to talk about the ultimate rolling of the dice right there? That was it, because it would have been just as big as Kevin Cash pulling out, his stud pitcher in the World Series early on a low pitch count. Similar second guessing like that.
Isn't it kind of great just to see him do it because of how mad it would make Mike Boddicker?
Right.
I'm sure Bod would have gone. Because Bod would have stomped in to the manager's office and said, no, you're not doing this. Give me the damn ball. I'm going out there. I will go six innings for you, not give anything up. That would have been Bod. But, again, you got to go with what the hierarchy upstairs says and go out and execute it, and they did. But Urias is just filthy. Then you come in, kind of like Chris Sale coming in to close out the World Series for the Red Sox. Just phenomenal job by him. Those are the guys, Bumgarner started that trend with the Royals coming out and pitching seven innings on 2 days rest, whatever it was, to close out the World Series. You get those aces. Hey, this is my job. This is what you pay me for. Give me the ball. My arm's still attached. I'm going to go out and get you some outs. So I do like that type of bulldog and gamer mentality from those big horse pitchers like that.
All right, so let's talk about what's going to happen now. You've got the Braves and the Dodgers. What do you think happens in that series?
Oh, I mean, look, pulling for Sightsee and the other Royals that are on the Braves, but it's going to be tough against that pitch. And, okay, so you used up Urias. Scherzer's probably dead for a couple days. Bueller just pitched. All right, let's throw someone else out there. They just have such outstanding arms, up and down, great back end of the bullpen, and guys that, you know, aren't household names in that lineup, but just a lot of professional hitters up and down that lineup. The Turners, I just love watching their approach and how they go about it. The Smith and everyone else, they find a way to put the barrel on the ball. So they got Max Fried going game one, who's had an outstanding season and has been absolutely shoving here the last month of the season for the Braves. So that they start off at home, figure that out. Dodgers win like 190 games, and they're the visitors going into the championship series. But they start out in Atlanta, where they've turned things around and started to play well. It'll be a good first game. It just depends on who the Dodgers decide to go to, because the Braves are probably going to have to go to an opener in a somewhat of a bullpen game, maybe Ian Anderson game two, because Charlie Morton just pitched for them. So they got Morton and Fried and others. And if Ian Anderson, who has a Giolito type changeup, if he can keep them off balance and their bats wake up and put some runs on the board, it should be a good series. But, you can talk all you want about Jorge Soler getting COVID and losing that bat. They're already down Acuna. They're going to be hard pressed to score a lot of runs. So they're hoping for low scoring games and let Freddie Freeman pop one out at the end of the game to win it for them.
What about the series we have now in the American League? The Houston Astros have advanced to the ALCS for the fifth consecutive year, and I don't think anyone really expected the Boston Red Sox to be here. There were some people, as the season was winding down, didn't expect them to be in the playoffs at all, and here they are taking on the Astros. What do you think happens?
Well, it's called getting hot at the right time, and all the pieces coming together, and Cora, tremendous manager. That's why they jumped on him after the Astros escapade. And they're a good ball club. They're feeling it right now. You got some no-namers that are putting up monster numbers and getting clutch hits for them. And Eovaldi's stepping up to being one of those big number one guys in their rotation. But then you go to the Astros, who are basically on a screw-you tour, it seems like, taking no prisoners. And enjoying the flack that they're getting, because they're going out and just beating down people. So, we talked about it with the White Sox earlier. I didn't think the White Sox were playing good ball at all. They seemed a little bit flat. I don't know how when you go into the playoffs. But damn, did they swing the bats well against a pretty good staff in the White Sox.
So it's funny because you're saying like the Astros are on this screw-you tour that, everybody's called them cheaters, and ourselves included. Isn't it kind of ironic that Alex Cora is now the manager of the Red Sox, and he was one of the guys that was at the center of the whole sign-stealing scandal in Houston? So can we kind of put that to bed for this series? Like, is it really the cheaters against the good guys if Alex Cora is actually managing the other team?
Well, again, at some point you got to put it to bed and just understand that Alex Cora is a tremendous manager and an outstanding coach, and has the pulse of his team. With now you got respect from the Astros players that have been there with him, and now the Red Sox players who would run through a wall for him. So great hire by the Red Sox, obviously, after his punishment, and just showing that whether or not the whole trash can banging thing, yeah, that's cheating. Yeah, they paid their price. But, yeah, that's an outstanding baseball team that they have. It's time to get over that and just appreciate the talent that they have, especially the hitters that the Astros are. That's going to be a fun series to watch, and I do believe there's going to be some runs scored throughout that series.
So who's going to win the whole thing?
You can't go against the Dodgers in their $2.7 billion payroll. They just got too many studs up and down arms, you know, it's hard to make a it's hard to make a mistake bringing an arm in from the bullpen when you can bring training in and just, you know, 100-mile-an-hour throwing guys. Who's that guy that throws a, you know, was throwing a 101-mile-an-hour sinker? Are you kidding me? That was just stupid arms that they have down there. So they have the guns. It's just a matter if they can get out of their own way, not make some mistakes, or if someone, you know, you get a bloop and then a blast and take advantage of it with good pitching on your side. But I just don't see how the Dodgers, this isn't the Dodgers World Series to lose again.
Mike McFarland is our guest. Mac, before we let you go, sad note that I wanted to ask you about. Ray Fosse, the former excellent major league catcher who most people remember for what happened in the 1970 All-Star game when he was bowled over by Pete Rose, passed away this past week. And he was, after his career, he became a broadcaster for a long time and was a broadcaster for the Oakland A's for, I think, beginning in 1986 and worked through part of this past season. I know you spent a couple of years in Oakland, and of course, being a former catcher, you have an appreciation for all those that came before you. I just like to get your thoughts. Did you cross paths at all with Ray Fosse, and just your thoughts on his passing?
Oh God, yes. And, you know, the catcher fraternity, Ray Fosse was held in high esteem. You forget about the Gold Gloves he won, the All Stars that he played in, and more than that, Stephen, he was just a fantastic individual. Even when, you know, I was with the Royals and Red Sox, made a point of coming down and talking to you. And then, you know, times on the flights and on the bus when I was playing with the A's, would sit down and talk. And it's just one of those things that you get to, you know, hear about a lot of things that he did as a player and how he did it and the difference in the games today. He was, you know, he wasn't necessarily into the analytics, but he understood it. Went out of his way to meet younger catchers that were first coming up and introduce himself. And, yeah, he's known for Pete Rose bowling him over in the All-Star game, but he was much more than that as a mentor and a friend. It's a sad loss. I knew that he was sick, you know, for quite a while and had been battling it, but still went about doing his job, was a good announcer. But just endeared himself to catchers and young players alike whenever you became an Oakland Athletic during those years, and he's going to be sadly and sorely missed there in that organization because they lost a good voice, a settling voice that would talk to the players, and the players respected him and respected what he had to say.
And I don't know if many people know this, but after what happened in the All-Star game with Pete Rose, so he fractured and separated his left shoulder, and then 2 days later, he still couldn't lift his left arm above his head and caught 9 innings in a win against the Royals. 2 days later.
That happens a lot now where catchers take a foul tip off the mask and they go into concussion protocol, you know. You know, different age, different time back then. But, yeah, he didn't like being remembered for that, but the guys that were catchers and knew who he was, just remember the outstanding player that he was for a number of years before that injury.
That's right. Hey, Mac, thank you for sharing your thoughts about the passing of Ray Fosse, and we appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again real soon, Mac.
You got it, Stephen. Take care.
That's the man, Mike McFarland. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.